Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 8th of September, recording at 9:40 p.m. It's still British summer time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. A mixed performance by stock markets in Asia. China, mainland China was steady. Actually, some of the smaller mainland Chinese indices, small cap indices and so on, are roaring ahead. I'll have to illustrate some of those. You can find them in the library, of course. Japan got whacked down over 2% because of the too strong yen. Hang Seng did not respond well to yesterday's fall on Wall Street, down 1.5%. But India, steady as a rock. Philippines, pushing further into new high ground. European stock markets closed with reasonable gains, on average about 1%. And FTSE and Switzerland had smaller gains, 0.41%. Now, in the States, Wall Street was quite steady when the European markets were closing. It did give up some of those gains, but still closed, well, the NASDAQ up 0.9%, S&P up 0.64%, that's taken it back up to almost to 1,099. The long-dated government bond prices weakened here today. The U.S. dollar was mostly a little easier, although yes, it was mostly a little easier. Gold has seesawed a little bit in a narrow range. It's got up to 1,262.5 at the high, but it's currently at 1,255. And quietly steady in the other precious metals. Industrial metals are quite firm, led by nickel and also tin. Now, the grain and bean complex, which had been up earlier in the day, closed softer. Wheat in particular fell back sharply. And it was down 24 points, still within an overall range. And lumber was limit up, I believe. And coffee is quite firm as well. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, dare I say it, when so many people are so bearish, but the bulls have the upper hand, technically. Now, what's the empirical evidence of that? Well, we have mostly range-bound markets, so it's not game, set, and match, but it never is until after the event. But of the all the world stock market indices, if one can take one's eyes off Wall Street and look around the world, you will see that far more stock markets are testing the upper side of their ranges than testing the lower side of their ranges. And we also have an increasing number of stock markets breaking up out of those ranges. Okay, they're mostly emerging markets, but that's exactly what I would expect. They usually do lead. The U.S. action is not all that bad by any means, in my opinion, and we'd need to see it take out the August reaction low to, raise further concerns. Although it would still be within its overall sideways trading range in that event. My best guess is that we're going to move sideways to higher. In what is still a seasonal period often characterized by some underperformance, but that markets will not do badly because, first, monetary policy remains extremely, accommodative. And I don't think that's going to change all that soon. Now, we had had somewhat tighter monetary policy, or so I think actually it's, I'd rephrase that. I would say somewhat higher interest rates in the faster growing economies. That's Australia among developed economies, Canada, but mainly the Asian progressing markets. But their monetary policies are probably still more accommodative than they would be if the OECD economies were not so weak. So in other words, the very accommodative U.S. monetary policy is deterring others from tightening too quickly, partly because they don't want to see their currencies soar too much. So that's a favorable background overall. Now you take the U.S., as everybody knows, the economic evidence has been diabolical. And after credit crises, as I say, day after day, it takes a long time, 5 to 7 years on average, for an economy to recover. But corporate America is not the economy. And they're an important player within the economy, but they're doing much better. Corporate America is not riddled with debt. Actually, corporate America holds a lot of cash. America does not have the what I would put it this way, the limitations that we see on GDP growth in the U.S. The liquidity trap is not something that is really affecting multinational U.S. companies, at any rate, which are doing extremely well. In the stronger economies. Excuse me. Oh, big sneeze there. So, I think one really does need to differentiate, and we get too many economists telling us how dreadful everything is. But you don't buy the economy, you buy corporations, and the multinationals we continue to like. And then any consumer stock in the U.S. which is got an edge on price or fashionable gear or so on is also not doing so badly overall. So I think people are too bearish in terms of the prospects, and I think we're on schedule for a good fourth quarter to the year in stock market terms, meaning a resumption of the cyclical bull market. Now, what about these long-dated government bonds? I'm bearish. At least I've now got a little bit of technical evidence on my side. It's not overwhelming technical evidence, but when you get a 28-year decline in U.S. Treasury yields, that's right, 28-year decline, how much more are we looking for? You know, is that going to go on forever? Ever? And lots of people say, well, the last cry, sort of the last defense of the bond bulls, I would say, is deflation. We're going the way of Japan. Well, that's a credible argument, except that Japan owns virtually all of its own debt and is still capable of financing that debt, whereas U.S. debt is 50% owned by foreigners, and the Fed is the biggest holder of domestic debt in the U.S. But it's the foreign holding that is the one that's a bit more critical there. And you know, foreigners, I think, are unlikely to see their options in U.S. long-dated securities dwindle down to the yields that we have seen at Japan, below 1%, even down below 0.5% at one ludicrous stage. I think back in, was it 2000 and 2006? I'd have to look at the chart, but approximately that time period. So I think, and then we know what a crowded trade bonds are, but just Just a little common sense perspective. 28-year bear market, historically low yields. Everybody's been piling into the bond market. Doesn't that begin to ring a few alarm bells for people? And are we really going to hold out on the basis that, well, maybe we're like the Japanese after all? Well, not with my money. But I'm talking in my book, of course. I've got a small short position in U.S. Treasuries. And truth to tell, I am still underwater in the trade overall. Now, what else to? But I'm not despondent. What else to say in here? The grain and bean complex, I suspect, has further upside potential. That's judging from the base formations that we see on the charts, but it's always a weather punt. So if the worst fears are realized, then prices will soar. If the weather comes through better, and crop damage is less in areas where it's still in the balance, then we'll have more subdued prices, quite obviously. So that's it. It's really all down to the weather. And what about crude oil? Well, U.S. stocks are high. That's why the NYMEX contract is underperforming the Brent contract here right now. But it's steady action overall, and I think we've been range bound here, having had a good look at the $70 level, and it's now $74.89. I think we're going to go right back to push back above the $80 level, get back up into the mid 80s, towards the upper side of the broad trading range. Precious metals are again quite steady overall. And one's got to give the upside the benefit of the doubt. If there's a bear case in here, it's for the bears to prove. And when markets are testing upper resistance boundaries, it's all the more reason to give the bull side the benefit of the doubt. My only concern or qualms, it's a crowded trade, may face a little bit more competition from stock markets. In the fourth quarter, but really that's about it. And I remain a long-term secular bull, and I have been a bull for 10 years here on gold and the other precious metals. Industrial metals, well, now mining shares are in a fret or fright over that Australian tax. They'll be happy about the metal prices. Have a look at them. The action's really quite good and likely to get better, in my opinion, judging from those patterns overall. That's another good sign, I think, in terms of prospects for the global economy, where half of the world economy and the half of the world that has the big populations is really doing quite well, and demand for these resources is really quite high. And last but not least, what about the zombie government in Japan and the overly strong Japanese yen? They've got to do something about this, I think. They've come up with every excuse and dithered and so on and procrastinated. It was typical action of a crisis-oriented government, but I think the pressure from corporate Japan is going to continue to grow, and better late than never. They will print more yen. It's kind of ludicrous to say that intervention or that countries are powerless in terms of being able to weaken a yen. It's about the one thing that central banks can do relatively easily. I'm sure Ben Bernanke would not mind having the problem of how to weaken a currency, just print more of it. Matter of fact, the Japanese probably wouldn't need to print more of the yen. All they'd have to do is announce that they were going to produce A few trillion yen, and that should do the trick quite nicely. And on that note, let's see what tomorrow brings. All the best.